my name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. On this week's episode, I am joined by the incredible Rosie Green. Rosie is an award-winning journalist. You have probably seen her on This Morning, seen her in Red Magazine. She's also an author of How to Heal a Broken Heart and, quite frankly, all-round incredible human. I am honored to have Rosie on the podcast this week. So welcome to the podcast, Rosie. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad this is finally happening. We connected, I feel like a few years ago now, through a mutual friend, wasn't it, on Instagram?
Yeah.
Just like, you both really like each other.
Every time I see your posts, I think, oh, they're just so lovely and warm and authentic. Oh. And so, I just feel a real connection, I have to say.
Oh, I love that. You always get like the greatest friends on the internet. I really do believe that. So for anyone who hasn't met you or come across you yet, I'd really love you to kind of share your story, because your story to me is not only empowering, but it's completely inspirational.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I guess I just have to start very briefly with the fact that I'm a magazine journalist. So I grew up in magazines, and I worked for a long time for Elle and then for Red. And I was the both those places, I was the beauty editor there. And I used to do a lot of the fashion shoots, and I used to do a lot of the cover shoots. So I had this really lovely, you know, fashion-y life. And very early on, you know, at university, I met someone who then became my husband. So I met him at 18. And we just had this very steady, lovely relationship. And I think, you know, as a young girl, you know, in my teenage time, I kind of craved that. I really wanted the stability and the security. I my parents split up when I was young, and I sort of had that kind of roses round the door dream. So I kind of went for the most kind of moral, straight guy that I could. And when I was at Red, as well as writing about beauty and fashion, I used to also write this column called Life's Rosie, and it was all about having young children and kind of the family dynamics and, you know, the dynamics between, in a partnership. So, you know, there would be really funny stories about kind of, I don't know, like having dinner parties and my husband having eaten all the food like before I got home and things like that, you know. Or, funny things about how you argue over the heating and that sort of stuff. So I had this kind of really lovely sort of following of people who were really engaged in that. And also especially sort of having the young children and the funny things around that. And so, you know, I led this very happy, content life. You know, obviously I had my struggles like everyone else, but generally in my relationship, very solid. And then it was about sort of 3.5 years ago now, I suddenly sort of got this weird feeling that something was not quite right with my ex. And I sort of saw this message on his phone. He'd never, ever, ever been the person. You know, some kind of guys, don't you? They're dangerous. You know what you're getting into. You know all that sort of stuff. He had never been that person, ever, ever, ever. He was so straight, so solid. I was always really adoring, you know, it was just really lovely. And so this just gave me a really weird feeling. And I remember saying to him, you know, you need to watch out, because that's, you know, that's not a normal message. And then I, just for a couple of months, it felt off. And yeah, then I discovered, you know, that there had been an affair. And I was absolutely devastated. And obviously he, you know, it was just so awful. And it was such a shock. So I was dealing with the shock of that, but also the shock of who I thought he was, you know. And then for him, I think, you know, I don't really want to, you know, I can't really put words into his mouth about why it happened, but it was, he, I think because of what he was dealing with, And it was so against his character. He was really angry and really cross. And I really quickly went into this zone of trying to keep my family together and trying to say it'll be all right, trying to go to counselling. And he sort of wavered on the edge for, you know, for felt like eternity, which was probably like 3 or 4 months. And then eventually decided that that's not what he wanted. And, you know, but in the periphery, there was this other person. Was she back? Was she not back? You know, there's all that kind of. And so for me, that 4 or 5, probably 6 months in the end was so destabilizing. And so it just went to the core of who I was. It made me question everything about our relationship, but also just that uncertainty around what did the future hold? You know, would he, you know, I was so desperate to get it back. And I became that person that I never thought I would be. You know, I was begging, I was crying, I would do anything, I would have accepted it on any terms, you know. Whereas I've been this quite feisty individual before. And eventually it just got so bad that I said, you know, you have to leave. And he went, and he sort of moved miles and miles and miles away, which was very tough for us all, because it, you know, it was such sort of abandonment. But at least from that point, you know, from that lowest point, I felt like I was climbing up. And to go back to, you know, your earlier question about writing about things, I went to see my editor at Red, and I said to her, you know, I just told her the whole story, because actually at the same time I lost my job, like my main job at that point. So I went back to my editor.
Oh my God.
I know. So I'd lost my income and my, you know, life partner. And I just sort of told her the whole story, and she was horrified. And then she said, you know, well, would you like to write about it? And I thought, well, yes, I would, actually, because I felt that it would be sort of cathartic. And also it felt like a nice thing to do, because I'd shared my life so much already. Mm. And then when I wrote about it, I just got this incredible response from people, you know.
Mm. I think that, firstly, I'm like getting choked up when you're talking about it, because it's that, like, visceral feeling, isn't it? You know, that you can really, if you've been through something like that, you can really feel it. And my heart goes out to you. Like, obviously, even recalling that. And like, for me, how you talk about it so, like, objectively and eloquently, I'd really love to understand, maybe someone's going through a breakup now or they're experiencing that pain. Like, what's been the process to be able to get there? Because it's super empowering.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I certainly couldn't talk about it in this way, you know, 2 years ago, maybe a year ago I could. So, you know, time is really important. There's no doubt about that. But I, you know, it put me on a journey where I really started to look at people's behavior and try and understand the patterns and understand my own patterns. And I think, you know, when you're in that pain, your brain chemistry takes over to a certain extent. You know, we've all done that, like stalking the ex, you know, just kind of like, where is he? What's he doing? Oh. And almost like in a way to sort of avoid the sadness, you sort of become a sort of hunter on a mission. So you try and find, like it's going to make everything better if you find out they're seeing them, or like it's going to make everything better if you find out they're lying. Yeah. But actually, you that's the way that you're kind of getting through those moments. You think, okay, well, if I can prove to him that he's being awful, if I can prove to him that he's lying to me, or if I can prove all those things, but actually they're irrelevant. You know, they're just your brain trying to sort of get some kind of grip. And I think, you know, I did some research on it all, and you know, your brain kind of craves your X like it does an opioid. It's so strong, you know, it's, and they proved like the chemical is so strong. And actually, you know, what's very interesting is even if it's a negative hit, it's a hit. So, you know, if you see them on social media with their mates, or you see them with their girlfriend, or you try and work out if it is their girlfriend, even though it's a negative thing, you're giving yourself another, you know, shot, basically, or another hit at the time. And so the only way really to detach from them is to go cold turkey, or to certainly, I mean, if you have children, you can't really do that, but it's to kind of just be this sort of functionally friendly person.
Years, decades has now betrayed you, and yet you've got children. So I can't even imagine what that's like.
It's so, to me, it was so shocking. And in a way it was, but you know what was quite interesting? That there was obviously the pain of the betrayal. And what's interesting is that everybody has a reaction to that, right? Because it feels so awful. But actually, for me, almost the bigger pain and the bigger overwhelm to deal with was like, well, what does my life look like now? You know, like, what, how do I care for these children? What house do we stay in? You know, what's happened to that future? So in a way, it was the kind of the dissolving of the future and the dissolving of the past, because is this person the person I thought they were? Well, you know, were they being honest when they were doing their vows? Were they happy when we went on holiday that day? Were they, you know, all those things. So in a way, I think your mind just craves certainty so much. And, you know, it's like that moment before you rip off the plaster is worse than ripping off the plaster, isn't it? So in a way, waiting for that punch for him deciding, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Those were the worst moments. And at least when I was sort of faced with the reality, I could start climbing up.
I think that's so powerful. It's like that acceptance is like your base level, isn't it? So once you get to be able to accept where you are, then you can start like the rebuild. So I guess in that process, like, where's your mindset at? Like, how are you getting through that daily?
Well, so when I was in the sort of hideous mire of it, I would get through it by, you know, talking to friends and getting their viewpoint, because I think, you know, there are a lot of terms bandied around as soon as you start talking about separation, you know, narcissism, gaslighting, you know, which I believe are true and do happen. And, you know, certainly with my ex, he would sort of equate various things that I, you know, he'd say, well, you behave so badly here, this is why I'm doing this, or, you know, and I don't think, he's not a bad person, but I think he was just doing everything he could to justify his actions to himself effectively. Mm-hmm. And so I think that messes with your brain so much. So I thought I was a really bad person. I thought I'd been a really bad wife. And, you know, I just... And so for me, it was talking to people. And I know so many people, when they're going through a breakup, find it really hard to talk about it, because it's such a hit on the ego. You almost don't want to talk about it, because if you talk about it, you make it real. If you talk about it, you have to show that you're being rejected. But actually, I felt that was so important to do that. And so I did. I talked to a handful of people. And in the rest of the time, I sort of really shrunk my world. I just kind of did what I needed to, and I got through each day. And then things like gratitude, like I did sit there and think, okay, I have got my children, I've got my health, I've got my pet, you know, I'm very lucky in so many ways. So actually that did help reset my mind a bit, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well that the practice of gratitude is like banded around so much now. But if you really dedicate to that, you create a different neural pathway. So it's part of like neuroplasticity. You know, you get into your prefrontal cortex, you're able to have a like repetition and recognition. And it's so powerful that you did that. I've actually seen... I mean, I've read so much of your stuff, Rosie, but like I've seen even how you show up on lives and the way you converse about it. And the way you're talking about it now is super interesting to me, because I think when we were first introduced, it was coming up to 3 years ago, we kind of connected. And even in that time, your conversation's very different.
Yes, I was just thinking that when I was talking to you. I think it is, you know, and I think... Yeah. Even I actually was weirdly listening to something, so, you know, the other day that I said, because I thought, oh, I better listen to that, see if I said anything terrible. And
that's me every week.
the you know, it was a friend of mine that I was talking to, and she said, you know, she said something about his bad behavior. And I said, you know, even just you saying that kind of really helps, because I was still in the zone of not quite believing it, you know. And I have to be honest, there are some stuff that I still haven't, you know, I'm still not really angry. I've never had the anger stage. I've never had, you know, and there are some things that I'm still working on. Like, I think we're all working on stuff, aren't we? We're all kind of getting over stuff and moving through it and just trying to be honest with ourselves. That's the biggest thing.
Oh my God, absolutely. It's really interesting that you say you've not had the anger stage, because I feel like I'm in an angry stage of my life where like people just piss me off.
I wish I could have that. I feel like in a way, I don't know whether, like, I just can't even find that, you know. And actually, you know, he did, like, you know, he did break his vows and he did leave and he did do all of those things. And you think that I would be angry, but I'm not angry. I'm sad. You know, I'm actually happier now. I'm glad, grateful that it happened in a way. but I don't feel angry, which is really interesting.
It's so, so interesting. Yeah, especially, I guess actually I'd love to know kind of how it played out for you in the pandemic as well, because obviously you've gone through like this huge shift in your life and then we're put into this other thing where, I don't know, we think the grass is greener, right? I was like isolated with just my partner and sometimes did not want to be, you know, yeah. And then other people who, you know, were dealing, I suppose obviously you had your children with you, but other people were then feeling like, I just want that connection. So like, I guess what was happening then?
Well, you know, what's interesting is I almost felt like I went through such pain and such a shift, and I accepted, I'd been forced to accept such major change that actually I didn't find the pandemic as hard as I think a lot of people did, because actually I was kind of quite, you know, I kind of learned to accept change, I think, in a way that I didn't want to have done, but I did. So by the time the pandemic came, I was like, okay. And you know what? I thought, again, with the gratitude, I'm really lucky. I'm in the countryside. We've got enough space. You know, the kids are being homeschooled really well. I felt really lucky. And also I think being in the countryside as opposed to the city, you know, you could go for walks and things with people, and you could, you know, sit on, you know, in a park and talk to them in a way that I don't think you could in London. So I feel like I was sort of lucky. And in a way, in terms of my book came out right in the middle of all of that. And so it meant, you know, we were chatting about how actually you have those home days where you achieve quite a lot. One thing I did do though, when I was in the middle of the lockdown, I thought it'd be really sensible to stop taking sertraline that I take. So sertraline, if anyone's listening, who doesn't know, listening, is an antidepressant, quite a sort of low key one. And the doctor had given me that just in the breakup because I wasn't sleeping. And I thought, this is a really good opportunity to to dial down on this, because I'm not going to have to, you know, I don't have to go out to any social functions or do anything about that.
And yeah,
real lesson to me, because I did the thing that you're supposed to do, which was like, you know, halve it and then halve it again and all that kind of stuff. And I was absolutely fine. Then one day, bam, I just went down. You know, I was just so, and I rang a friend, she said, oh my God, you sound like you did 2 years ago. And so that was one negative of the pandemic.
Yeah, I think the point about lack of sleep, I swear that is one of the worst side effects for you to try to be able to function if you're not sleeping well through anything that's traumatic. I've listened to a few of your lives, so I kind of know a bit, but for anyone who hasn't listened, what was it like then?
When I wasn't sleeping?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, it was horrendous. So I just went through these stages of like where my husband just didn't come home. And so I would, you know, and he had a job that kind of meant that was sort of plausible, but not really plausible. And so I would just be awake. I literally felt like I wanted to claw my skin off, because you just think you don't know where they are, who they're with. And I just remember, you know, it would just be so awful. And then you fall asleep and then you wake up sweating and then you'd have the heart palpitations. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went round, there's some really nice, a couple, he's a doctor and she's a nurse, and I just went round to their house at about 11 o'clock at night one night, and I just said, please, can you give me some sleep pills, because I will never sleep. And I, you know, I've got to get the kids up in the morning and I've got to function as a mother. And they did, they probably gave me enough for like 4 or 5 days. And that's when I went to the doctor as they were going to run out and just said, okay, I need to do something. And you know, they did kick in and stabilize my sleep and stabilize my weight loss. But now I've got to go through that. I feel like in a much better place, but I know my cousin's psychiatrist, so she was saying to me that you drop lower, you know, because I thought you stop taking them, you just go to base point, but actually you don't, your brain stopped making serotonin, I think, hasn't it? So therefore your brain's got to reverse to make that serotonin, so you do dip lower. You know, so that's something that I think, okay, I've got that to come.
Oh, bless you. But I feel like you're in a much stronger place, you know, and you can kind of like process that, like you understand why that's happening. So as long as you know the why behind it, like you can kind of handle it.
I hope so. I hope it's going to be a bit like PMT, where you think, oh my God, the world's going to end. And then you think, oh, hang on. Hang on, I'm going on tomorrow.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, exactly. I'm like a dragon at the minute. Like, talk about my anger in PMT. My partner's like, I just walked in the door. Like, what's wrong? Like, get it out. Anyway, you touched on it briefly, but I'd really love to talk about your book because I think it's so, like, again, like, so brave to write about this great pain that you've been through and to keep bringing it forward and to keep like writing about it and sharing it to help other people. So I'd really love to get into that.
Oh, thank you. You know, every day I get messages from women who have read it and who are in it. And I have to say that is unbelievably rewarding. And I'm so grateful to them for saying that. And I think, you know, there is so much, you know, when you break up with, so certainly when someone leaves you, you know, there is a massive temptation to say, which is totally understandable, oh, you know, it was a joint decision, or I didn't care about them, or, you know, I was thinking that too. Because, you know, ultimately, you know, from the research that I'd done, you know, you form this primary attachment and, you know, your whole ego is so interlaced with that person, and you know, your whole vision of yourself and how desirable you are and what you bring to the world. So if that one person says, yeah, no thanks very much, I'm just going to go over here, it is horrendous. And so I think there's a natural temptation to not talk about it. And then I think certainly, you know, there's a natural temptation in the, certainly not to sort of shout about it in the public eye. I mean, not that I think I'm like, you know, J-Lo or anything, but I know that, you know, just to talk about it publicly is always hard, because you don't want to be forever branded as someone who's a kind of reject or someone, you know, that girl who got dumped, basically. So, but as I say, I just felt a really strong urge to share it. And there's also quite a lot of people that will say, well, that's not fair on your children. You know, that's not fair on your children. So, but I...
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, like, as in... you know, what's that going to say to them about their dad, you know, and I hope that I, you know, with him, I didn't sort of mention the gritty details in the book about how I felt about the things that he did. And, you know, I wasn't sort of graphic about those things. But I do think the children thing is a way of society almost quite a lot shutting women's voices down. Because I think as well,
absolutely,
when we talk about early parenthood, which is very hard. And of course it's you know, it's a gift, it's amazing, but it is really hard. And people feel really lonely, some people feel depressed, some people feel really shocked, you know, and then the load between how it's shared between the man and the woman, there is incredibly tough, some of it. But people can't talk about it because then they think, well, children will read it and feel like they've been rejected, you know. So I remember my editor at Elle ages and ages ago wrote a piece about how tough she'd found early motherhood, and you know, people were up in arms.
It's just also like everyone's experience of something is totally different. I just don't understand that. And especially I don't understand women coming after women as well. It's like, I can't.
I know, there are some really...
I just cannot.
I did this piece for the Mail, and the guy came around, took my picture, and I tidied up the kitchen before he came. And then the comments, I've stopped reading them now, the comments are so vile because someone...
Oh no.
No wonder he left her. Look how sterile her kitchen looks. There's a big pile of junk over in the corner. But yeah, so people I think can be really judgy, but as you and I both know, a lot of that comes from their fears, doesn't it? It's like, actually, you know, people I think sometimes feel like it's catching, you know, like, okay, you've switched up, so that could happen to me. And you know, we all do it as humans, that people want to know why do you think he left, you know. And I remember one woman saying, give him enough blowjobs, you know. And then it's like, this has happened to her, let's try and work out how it cannot happen to me, you know, which is understandable but quite harsh.
That's insane. Imagine waking up and saying that to a stranger on the internet. Sorry, like,
yes, exactly. Oh, but she said that to me in real life.
Oh my, I don't know what's worse. God, yeah. Be honest, actually, I don't know what's worse. Oh my God, bless you. So I think as well, like, talking about the book, what can people kind of expect? Because obviously I'm going to share all the details like in the show notes, but say if anyone's like in that place now, what kind of things can they feel and experience from the book?
Well, so I called it part memoir, part manual. So I wrote about my own experience and I sort of followed it on a sort of timeline. So, you know, the kind of horrible shock, the devastation, and then the sort of detachment that we talked about, and then, you know, and then the slow journey out of it, finishing with kind of dating and sex and all those fun things at the end. So it's about the journey, but it's also full of like really practical tips and you know, sort of expert advice. And also, so the practical tips are, you know, like try and, you know, position it this way, try and think of it this way, you know, physiologically, you know, what can you do, exercise, what can you eat, you know, which way can you reframe it, all those things. And then also an understanding, like we were talking about before, about the brain chemistry of it. So actually how your brain can kind of sabotage your recovery if you're not careful. You know, because a lot of people, you know, we all say, oh, I don't want to be that woman who's bitter about it in 20 years time, you know, but actually there's a reason for that, because people get stuck in that safety zone of feeling angry or bitter, because actually if you're in that zone, you feel looked after and you feel, you know, you don't have to go out and, you know, try dating, or you don't have to, you know, you could, it becomes comfortable. So I think there are just so many, like lots of tactics and lots of strategies and, you know, lots of tips as well.
I love that. So it's kind of really user friendly, like people will be able to take away lots from it, like super specific.
Yeah. And I think it works for people who are, you know, you don't necessarily have to be the person that has left. You could be the person that's leaving. Mm-hmm. There are quite a lot of women that have said, you know, I feel really miserable and trapped in a marriage. Just, you know, am I still allowed in? And I'm like, yes, 100%. And I think, do you know what, in a way I think that's so hard, because I think women quite often leave properly, like quite often with men they'll have an affair, I think, to get themselves out, whereas women, I think, I mean, that's a real generalization, I'm really sorry to any men that listen, I'm sure there are loads of really decent guys doing it the proper way, but quite often a woman will think, I'm really miserable, and then they have to say to their husband, I don't love you anymore, and he says, why? And you have to justify it, and you have to do all those things, and I think that is, you know, it can really take its toll. It's a really hard thing to do.
And I think as well, on the flip side, you've got the guilt piece, you've got a completely different piece that you're trying to work through, and like living with that is like totally be different.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
So for anyone who hasn't followed you or hasn't connected yet, obviously I'm going to share all of your details in the show notes, but what's coming up for you? What can we look out for?
Oh, thank you. I am doing, so I'm going to do a podcast myself. So you'll probably end up on my podcast. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a sort of heartbreak to happy one, talking to people who, you know, in the public eye and in the media who've been through their different splits. So I'm working on that at the moment, and I've got a regular relationship column in the Mail, which is fun. Mail on Sunday. And and I'm just doing quite a lot of beauty and things like that. I quite like to do like lots of, I might do some more retreats. I think now the world's opened up a bit. And I think, you know, as women, you know, there are so many sort of women in different positions. They might be single, or they might just want to, you know, they might want to go on holiday with their girlfriends, or I just would quite like to do retreats where people go and they come back and they've eaten good food and they've done yoga and they've learned how to put their makeup on and they've done, you know, just like amazing feel good retreats.
Oh my goodness, sign me up. I will be there. I miss that. Like, I just want to hang around with like women.
Yeah.
There's just so much in that, isn't there?
There is.
As much as it's like great with your partner, like the female energy is amazing, isn't it?
It is. Round a pool with a margarita.
Yeah, exactly.
Just with some yoga or something, so you feel really good about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I'll meditate in the morning, then I'll have a margarita. Yes. Perfect.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness, Rosie, thank you so much. There's so much information in here, and I really do advise anyone listening to go and check Rosie out, because you have tons of videos as well where you've gone and really spoken about the pain and you've been so open about that. And I you know, I've been through heartbreak and I've listened to you, and you're really, really inspirational to me. So I'm so glad you came on the podcast.
Oh, well, I'm very grateful to you, and right back at you. I feel your energy sort of vibing off your Instagram page. It's so good.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much, Rosie. Take care.
Bye.
Rosie is such an inspirational woman, and she really shows that time is just such a great healer. Her bravery has spoken to me for years. We've been connected for years, and I'm so honored that she agreed to come on my podcast. We ended up having such a deep conversation off air, and honestly, I really encourage you to go and connect with Rosie. Get chatting to her in the DMs like I did all those years ago. She is so warm and so inspirational. And quite frankly, she is the energy we all need in our lives. So you know what part of the podcast it is. I want you to get really comfortable, really cozy as we go into this week's mini meditation. Taking a moment to recognize how we're feeling today. What's been coming up for us today? Just taking a moment to settle in, taking our time. No rush. We spend all of our days, all of our nights rushing so much. We don't need to do that. We can just slow down now together. And I want you to imagine you're sending your breath to your heart space. Breathing deeply. Breathing into the chest and beginning to imagine the air circulating just around the heart. How does that feel? Breathing in to the heart center and showing yourself some kindness today. Showing yourself some love. Maybe you want to put one of your hands onto the heart, maybe one hand onto the belly, and really feel the connection to the body. Appreciate yourself for being in this moment, for everything you're achieving right now. Show yourself kindness for the growth you're going through, for the moments in life that feel difficult. Show yourself kindness for those moments when you've judged yourself. Show yourself compassion for those times you weren't kind. Imagine a feeling of warmth filling up all of the body. How does that feel? Breathing in to the heart space. And slowly breathing out. Take a moment to open the eyes, and I want you to keep thinking about those thoughts that came up for you. Feelings of compassion, of self-love, of self-growth. And appreciate where you are today. You're exactly where you are supposed to be. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you again next week.